The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello, welcome to The Punt. We have a big week of Capital One Cup football coming up this week, and we've just come off the back of a pretty interesting weekend in the Premier League as well. My name is Mark Walton, and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Lee Phelps. How are you, Lee?
I'm good, thank you, yeah. What a Sunday.
Yeah. It was a little bit crazy, wasn't it?
Crazy, absolutely crazy. There's no way you... I mean, any punters out there backed 5-3 Leicester?
Nah, any punters not. Out there backed the weekend result? If anybody got a coupon up this weekend, they must be rich.
Yeah, load. I mean, just a great weekend for the bookies, unfortunately, wasn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately so. Manchester United, let's start with them, because after the weekend, it seems a logical place to start. 3-1 up, the game should be done. And they've ended up losing 5-3. They've shown massive defensive incapabilities. We've seen the price on Van Gaal, almost half as well, sixes into 7-2 to go. Mm. Do you see his job being at risk at all?
No, not at all. No, I think they'll stick by him. You know, there's no way. I think there was a massive overreaction to how well they did against QPR.
Yeah.
QPR were dreadful in that game. They stood off Manchester United and let them play. I said this in the punt before the weekend. You know, people overreact too quickly these days, and now they'll overreact even again to this result and say, oh, they're terrible. Well, they're not terrible. They were 3-1 up and they were looking fantastic, and no one in the world would have thought that Leicester would have come back from 3-1 down and won 5-3. So that'll be overreacted to. The QPR win was overreacted to. The truth is somewhere in the middle, that they're a fantastic attacking team, but as we said pre-weekend, if they come up against a good side, the good side will score goals against them because they're so brittle at the back. You know, they're just lacking confidence in the back four. Until he gets that sorted out, they will continue to have games like this. You know, and you know, the thing to back is just goals in the Man United games.
Yep.
You're probably going to get chinned now and again with a low scorer somehow. But the only low scorer really has been the Burnley game when they drew 0-0 with Burnley. Go figure. So I think it's just back goals in the Man U games. The defence is crazy. Unless they attack so much that it kind of protects the defence, then that's the only way they're going to win games at the minute, until he manages to get his players back. But another, Jody Evans is obviously injured now as well, so he just keeps picking up injuries. But it's going to have to be like Liverpool did it. Score more goals than you concede. And that's what Liverpool did last season. Unfortunately, they just disintegrated against Leicester, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's crazy to watch, but fun.
Fun, yeah.
Unless you're not a Man United fan,
yeah. Okay, so Man United, like you say, very good going forward. Terrible at the back.
Consistency is the key, isn't it, Mark? You know, whatever level of football you play, if you pants one week and amazing the next, you know, that's not the key to finishing in a top position in any league, whether it's five-a-side or it's the Premier League. So consistency is everything. So until they start to gain consistency, which I think will take a couple of months, I don't think, you know, I don't think the 8-11 on them finishing the top four is a very good price at all. Because we're just not seeing it from them. But eventually, they will get consistency and they will start to stop the goals going in, because he's too good a manager not to. The goals going in at the other end is a given, isn't it? Because
yeah.
Di Maria just looks phenomenal. That goal he scored was brilliant. Herrera's chipped in with a nice little kind of backheel type goal. Van Persie's in the goals now. Rooney looks fantastic. They just look great. And they bring Mata off the bench. It's all good. Apart from that bit at the back, which is all bad.
It's all bad. Do you see them getting into the top four then?
I still do. But you know, I couldn't back them at 8-11, to be honest with you, when you were getting prices, odds against prices at the start of the season.
Yeah.
I still favour them over Liverpool, though, because Liverpool are showing inconsistencies and they've got Europe to worry about. The best thing that could happen to Liverpool from a Premier League point of view is for them to not make it through the group stage or to get knocked out in the round of 16, which I think will happen anyway. So, you know, if Liverpool can get going and get Sturridge back fit and they're not in the Champions League, then they'll be a tough team to catch, because we know they have that inbuilt confidence about them, but they leak goals like Man U do, to be fair. So, yeah. Not mad keen on either of them.
Okay. The two best sides in the league also met this weekend. Man City playing host to Chelsea. Finished 1-1. City down to 10 men. Do you think Chelsea should have punished them when that happened?
Yeah, probably, but it's hard to change your game plan, isn't it, from kind of parking a very expensive bus like Chelsea did, and then suddenly, you know, getting off the bus and all running around and scoring goals.
Do you know what the problem was?
I'm not sure if the metaphor
stretching
that far. Go on.
Chelsea parked the bus. Frank Lampard, being a former Chelsea player, still had the keys.
like it. Yeah, I mean, it was just written that, wasn't it? Yeah, I mean, Chelsea probably should have done, but I think before the game, if you'd have asked Mourinho, what result do you want out of this? He'd have said, obviously, a draw would be, I'd be happy with a draw, a win would be fantastic. So, you know, I know things change in a game, but we still come away with the draw. And they were. I mean, you look at the stats and, you know, I think Pellegrini said we played the way a good team plays. Mm. You know, Chelsea didn't. That's not strictly, you know, that Man City will go away in Europe and do exactly the same thing. In fact, they did it against, against Bayern Munich and failed. Chelsea did it. So I don't agree with Pellegrini there. I thought that's what they'd do. They've done that consistently against the big teams in the Premier League, and that's what they'll continue to do. Still available, by the way, the special bet for Chelsea to go the season unbeaten. It was 16-1 before the weekend, and it's still the same price now after going to their biggest rivals. So
I don't think that's too bad a price. There's always the
I thought it should be bigger before the weekend. Mm. You know, I was saying then, it's now. I was expecting it to be clipped in a little bit, but it hasn't been. So I think it's the right price now, now that City's out of the way.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, the home record was phenomenal, wasn't it, for so long under Mourinho. I know they lost that magnificent home record last season in the end, but you could see them going to most places and batting down the hatches and getting a draw.
Yeah. And we've seen with Mourinho, he will change his tactics to get a result, which is...
Yeah.
Significant. Okay. And it had to be Frank Lampard, didn't it? It had to be.
Amazing.
What did you make of his reaction? A few people say that you shouldn't not celebrate, if that makes sense.
But he's been there his whole life, more or less, hasn't he? I know he was at West Ham, but, you know, the majority of his career, and it made him the player he is today, etc. I can see it's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all right.
All you want is your teammates to jump all over you as quickly as possible to hide your face. That's what I find when I score against my former clubs.
Yeah.
The Verve happened. In Doncaster, Charisma in Huddersfield. I've scored in both those former clubs.
Right, other games this weekend of note. Crystal Palace, they managed to beat Everton at Goodison, which is a good result for them.
Yeah, I mean, I went for Tottenham and Everton both to win.
Oh, well, that's the other one as well. Spurs getting beat by West Brom.
I mean, on the punt before the weekend, we talked about what happens when they come back from Europe. I thought they would try to get a lead in the first half and then just sit on it. I thought they both looked well out of sorts, and obviously it's something for the, if you do keep a notebook or you keep notes on games, it's obviously something to note down that, like Liverpool, they struggled with it. Something a bit new for Everton. Tottenham should be well used to it by now. It's an amazing start.
Historically, they do struggle after Europe.
Tottenham.
Yeah.
Well, at the start of last season, they didn't. They won three of the games they played against weaker teams. But there's an amazing stat with Tottenham when they come back. The amount of games that have just one goal in them.
Mm.
Whether they win or they lose 1-0. So, you know, it's something to bear in mind as we go through with the Europa League games. I mean, you know, Everton were at home against Wolfsburg and won and looked fairly comfy doing it. Just couldn't seem to quite... I mean, that was a bit different. They had a lot. They did have some chances, you know, Everton. So I think that maybe that might have been a little bit of a blip, but Tottenham looked pedestrian at best.
Yes. Shall we move on?
Yeah.
OK, on to the midweek stuff then. We have Capital One Cup football on both Tuesday and Wednesday. Starting on Tuesday evening, we have the television match to start with. Liverpool take on Middlesbrough. Liverpool are 4-9, the draw 7-2. Middlesbrough are 11-2. Now, Liverpool's record this season is one of a checkered variety.
Mm.
One lost, one lost, one lost. That's the pattern of their last six games. They looked good against Spurs, but then again, that might not be too difficult, as we've seen this weekend. But then since then, they've really struggled to score goals, to get control of games. They took on a Middlesbrough side who are flyingly, won four of the last five in the Championship, and they found two goal scorers in Kike and Leadbitter, who have been scoring for fun this season. So is this a potential upset?
Yes, it is. I think Liverpool have got this strange record. They've played a lot of away games, to be fair, so this has to be tempered a little bit, but they haven't won a home League Cup tie in the 90 minutes since September 2008 when they beat Crewe 2-1. Last season they drew with Notts County, of course, 2-2, won it in extra time with goals from Sturridge and Henderson. Season before they lost 3-1 to Swansea. The season before that they drew 2-2 with Man City. That's no great shame, of course. And the season before that they drew 2-2 with Northampton, who knocked them out on penalties. It was 1-1 after extra time, 2-2 after the 1-1 after full time, 2-2 extra time, and then penalty shootout. So not a great record at home recently, and of course they were the team of the League Cup in years gone by, in the 80s when it was a Milk Cup. And like you say, Middlesbrough just confident, they could go to Anfield with nothing to lose. Liverpool are a little bit, I guess Liverpool are a bit, I don't know if they're lacking confidence or they're just fatigued already. You wouldn't think they should be fatigued already, would you? I mean, Brendan Rodgers said that it, he didn't say they were tired or anything. He just said it's disrupting their routine.
Yeah.
Which you can understand, can't you? You can understand having to come back. They played on a Tuesday, though, at home. And then they had all the way through till Saturday evening. I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure I buy that. I mean, yeah, it will disrupt your routine from the year before, but you should be putting things into place where you wouldn't be disrupted. Now they've got another midweek game. I don't think any team goes out to lose in the Capital One Cup. But they wouldn't be upset if they did lose this, would they, Mark?
It's a headache that they don't need.
Yeah. Priorities for Liverpool, you would say top four finish.
Yep.
Good Champions League run.
Yeah, Champions League, yeah.
Champion at the bit. And then a good FA Cup run. I'm just getting my vowels mixed up a little bit.
Yeah.
FA Cup run.
Yeah.
Surely this comes right at the bottom of the rung.
Well, it does, doesn't it?
He didn't rest that many players last year for the game against Notts County, but I expect him to make some changes here. And as you say about Middlesbrough, they're doing really well, full of confidence. I mean, I think Grant Leadbitter is a brilliant price at 5-1 to score any time. This guy's scored 7 goals already this season, 4 of them away from home. So, you know, more than half of his goals have come away from home. Just playing really, really well. He's also on penalties. He scored 2 against Huddersfield. The second of them was a penalty. He's got a penalty against Bolton as well. Scored in the win in the League Cup against Oldham, and that was away from home. Kike is the other one who you mentioned. Started his life at Middlesbrough very, very well as well. 13-5 any time. I'd probably rather take Leadbitter at 5-1, just because, you know, as a midfielder, Liverpool's defence, at the very least, you'd imagine to keep tabs on Kike. They might not be able to keep tabs quite as well on a runner from midfield. So Leadbitter to score at any time at 5-1, and I'll go with Middlesbrough plus a goal, just because I can't be backing Liverpool at 4-9 at the minute, not knowing what they'll come out at in terms of team news. So Middlesbrough plus a goal is the way that I would go, and that's I think that's quite a nice price at 7-4. Draw no bet, 4-1 by the way for Middlesbrough. So
yeah,
not to get beat though.
Okay, so Middlesbrough to get something at least.
Yes.
Liverpool, in Lee's opinion, don't care if they go out. So that's fair.
The word would be everyone wants to win every game, don't they? But they won't be too disappointed if they weren't playing, you know, weekend, midweek, weekend, Europe, weekend, you know.
I get what you're saying. Right, moving on to the other games, and because we've got several all Premier League clashes.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start.
And we are a top flight football podcast.
That's exactly what we say on the tin. Mm. So we'll move on to Tuesday's top flight teams in action in the Capital One Cup. That's where we're going. Starting with Arsenal against Southampton. Arsenal are 17-20. The draw is 12-5. And Southampton are 100-30. Arsenal, they bounce back from their 2-0. It was a bad display against Dortmund with a 3-0 win at Villa, which was a good display. Dortmund, the defeat is their... The Dortmund defeat is their only defeat this season. They take on Southampton, who have been a real surprise package. They've won their last 4 games, they're unbeaten in their last 5 games, and they're second in the Premier League.
No, I'm not that surprised by them. I'm not just saying this as an aftertimer. I think a club is based around its ethos and its ethics and its and the way it treats its players and the way it does things, not just its star players. So, you know, the sign of a good club is when you have to get rid of some players and bring others in, you play the same style, you play the same way, and I think that's what they've done. They've still got some very good players, you know, the likes of, you know, Schneidlin and others, and he's brought in good players, Koeman. He's brought in players who he knows, and he knows what they can do. So I wasn't one of the people who were tipping Southampton to go down, like a lot of people just jumped on the bandwagon. It'd be interesting to see how they get on here at Arsenal. Arsenal are hard to predict at the minute, aren't they? I mean, I thought they looked very good against Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Again, Aston Villa were massively overrated. Ozil suddenly seemed to, you know, get that kick up the backside that he needed. Welbeck got his first goal, so, you know, all good. And suddenly, from all the doom and gloom, when Wenger had to be sacked, you know, they've won 3-0 away from home. Now they've got a League Cup tie. Traditionally, they obviously put out weaker teams in the in the Capital One Cup or the League Cup, whatever it is, each season. You know, last season, just looking at when they went away to West Brom, it was Fabianski, Mertesacker, Vermaelen, Monreal, Jenkinson, Hayden, Arteta, Miyachi, Esfield, Bentner and Gnabry. Second string, isn't it, pretty much? You only got one or two in there, really, who would get into the first team. I mean, you look at who came on from the bench, you know, on that day as well. Akpom, Olsen, Bellerin. I mean, the others on the bench were Chuyung Park, Viviano, Flamini and Iwobi. I mean, we've barely even heard of any of those guys before or since, by the way. So you can only expect that they'll do the same sort of thing. I just wonder what Koeman will do here. Because I get the impression that he won't want to weaken and he'll want to maintain what he's done.
Yeah.
I think he'll go pretty strong here, Koeman.
I tend to agree. I think if they can keep the momentum going... and they know that they're going to be taking on an Arsenal side who won't take this competition as seriously. It's a good chance to keep the mood up. I think it's a good chance for Southampton here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he also, you know, I know this isn't the FA Cup, but he didn't mind a cup competition. To be fair, he obviously won the cup with Ajax. He won it with Benfica as well. So you know, a lot of the clubs he's been. Valencia, he won it in 1999. Won the Copa del Rey, their only cup competition, of course. So you know, he's got a history of winning cups with his previous clubs, and I don't think he'll throw this away lightly either. 100 to 30 at Arsenal. It's not the best price in the world. That's my only worry. I just think there could be goals in it. I think. Arsenal obviously aren't a team who necessarily, you know, who can shut down. They'll be quite attractive and they'll open up against Southampton. And I think Southampton will do the same. The goals is over 2.5, 13 to 20, which is too short for me, to be honest with you. But I think Arsenal win an over 2.5 goals at 13 to 10. Could you see that?
Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
It's all about team news, as it always is. If Arsenal put out a weak team at home to Southampton, then I'd edge towards Southampton and over 2.5 goals. That's 11-2. But if it's anything like a good Arsenal team, then I'd be with Arsenal. So I know it's a bit of a hazy one, but team news is everything to me. I think if Arsenal have got like four of their top quality players in the lineup, then I'll happy back them. But any less than that, if it's wholesale changes, then Southampton, I think, will get after them.
Yeah, that's one to very much watch the team news about.
A lot of these are, Mark, yeah. Unfortunately. It's always the way this time of year.
It is. Two teams I don't expect to weaken too much are Sunderland and Stoke. Sunderland 7-5, the draw 21-10, Stoke 21-10 as well. We saw Sunderland get all the way to the final last year.
Yep.
Yet to win a game in the league, though, this season. Four draws and one defeat. They beat Birmingham 3-0 in the last round, so that's why I think they need to take this a little bit more seriously. It's a good way of inspiring. I mean, look at what the cup run did to them at the back end of last season. It galvanised them for the Premier League and staying up. They take on Stoke, who have got a good record in cups in recent years.
Yep.
Bit of a mixed bag of results this season. We've seen that they are capable, but they're also vulnerable at times as well. Sunderland 7-5, draw 21-10, Stoke 21-10. I've already mentioned the prices. Mention them again, just because.
Why not? You can't mention them enough for me.
Exactly. What happens, Ely? That's what I need to know.
Good question. I mean, you look at in terms of their season so far, Sunderland. You know, it seems to me like they kind of, in the Premier League anyway, they fit in with whatever the other team are doing. Burnley are a kind of team who don't give many goals away, 0-0. Tottenham like to go forward. Sunderland drew with them 2-2. They drew 1-1 with Man United, of course, as well. Beat Birmingham 3-0 in the Cup. That's the only game where they've scored goals. And, you know, and it's the only win of the season as well. There was a 2-2 as well with West Brom, of course, in the Premier League. So it's a real mixed bag. You don't know quite what you're going to get. One week it's under 2.5 and they're all solid. The next week they're really open and it's an over 2.5, over 3.5 game. Stoke, much better away from home, I think, this season. I don't think they've quite got to grips with what they're doing at home yet. They beat Portsmouth in the League Cup in the previous round. And that's their only win at home so far. Lost to Villa 1-0, lost to Leicester 1-0. So I think, you know, being away from home is better for them because they know they can sit in, they can be solid, and they've got the pace and the quality on the break now to be able to hurt teams. They should have won that game against QPR. There's so many chances against them. And obviously the Crenshaw free kick killed them in about 2 or 3 minutes to go. But I think Stoke go to Sunderland and get something here. I think they'll be more up for it. I know Sunderland have got that League Cup impetus behind them. But, you know, they went very close, you know, again last season to slipping out of the division. And I just don't think Sunderland have improved at all. I think Stoke have improved. And I think Stoke will be will take the away confidence that they got from City and from going to QPR. And I think they'll... I'm with Stoke on this one. 21-10. I think it's a decent price. The draw's the same. Draw is a worry. But I'm gonna side with Stoke here. I like the way they're set up. I went with them in the City game. I went with them to be drawing at half time and to hold City. And I think they listened to Mark Hughes so much and they did exactly what he told them to. And against QPR, they were a little bit more open. And I think that's the tactic they'll take into this game against Sunderland. And I don't like Sunderland. I think they're really nothing. Do you know what I mean? They're not very exciting, are they? In any stretch, I don't know. Yeah, not for me.
Okay. For a moment there, I thought he was going to say that the Stoke players listen to you on the punt.
No. Mark Hughes, manager.
I'm glad you said Mark Hughes.
There's only John Walters who listens.
What was that?
John Walters. He's the only Stoke player who listens.
Oh, right, yeah.
So,
okay.
He can't. I mean, maybe I'll be telling everyone in the changing room to listen. And this is what I said, but yeah. I doubt it.
OK, well, we'll move on. Swansea take on Everton. That's another one of the All Premier League encounters. Swansea are 6-5. The draw is 23-10. And Everton are 23-10. Difficult week for Swansea. They had a 100% record before the international break. Lost both games since. They lost 4-2 at Chelsea. And no real embarrassment in that. And then 1-0 at home to Southampton. And they were down to 10 men in that game. Everton only won one league game this season. They've drawn 2, lost 2, and beat Wolfsburg comfortably in the Europa League, but then got beat by Palace at the weekend. So how do you work out Everton?
Yeah, tricky one. Hard to work out, really, because I thought that, like I said before already in this podcast, I thought they'd win at the weekend. I thought they'd just get the job done. I mean, the penalty was daft. You know, up until that point, they were in no trouble whatsoever. They were making chances, they were playing well, everything was going well. They give the penalty away, concede that, and suddenly they seem to like lose the plot a little bit. And then they made some errors and, you know, and soon, all of a sudden you're 3-1 down and all you can do is just chase the game. Just goals are the common denominator in Everton games. You know, so far, you look at the games they've played. 2-2 at Leicester, 2-2 against Arsenal, 6-3 Chelsea. The 2-0 win against West Brom should have been over 2.5. West Brom had chances, and Everton had Naismith had a brilliant chance to make it 3. 4-1 against
You're
Wolfsburg.
Obsessed with that Naismith chance.
No, he's but it's true, isn't it? You know, he should have scored it. 3-2, they lost to Crystal Palace. So, you know, 9 goals in one game, 5 in 2, and 4 in the other two, with 2 in the one, and there should have been more. Swansea, I didn't rate them as much as everyone else was rating them. I thought they'd get a draw out of the game with Southampton. I think they will gradually slip down the Premier League and may even be involved in a bit of a scrap come the end of the season. I think the Everton manager has obviously got a bit of a taste for the cup competitions as well, his previous club. Everton, this is the sort of trophy that Everton should be doing well in. They're not going to win the league. The FA Cup, obviously, they've got a chance in. This is one of two cups they've got a chance to win. They've just got a dreadful away record, though, which is it's weird. They've won one away tie in the League Cup since December 2007. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? Lost 2-1 at Fulham, 2-1 at Leeds, drew with Brentford and got knocked out on penalties in 2010, lost to Tottenham in 2009, no shame there, lost to Blackburn in 2008, obviously Blackburn were better then, and lost to Chelsea in 2008. So maybe a bit of bad luck drawing some big teams, but I don't rate Swansea. I think Everton have always been one of the teams who have been able to go to Swansea and stop them playing. They've really pressed them high up the pitch. They've really got into them. Even when Swansea were kind of the team that everyone, you know, loved, and they were like mini Barcelona, it was Everton and Tottenham actually under Harry Redknapp who went there and stopped them. I think they'll do the same here. I think could be a high scorer. I'm going to go with Everton to win and over 2.5 goals in this one. It's not a bad price anyway, Everton at 23-10, to be fair, is it? I mean, you could just back them on its own. I mean, I think the manager will want to win every game. I don't think he's someone who will weaken down in the League Cup. More chance to win the League Cup than the Europa League. So I think, Everton to win this game, and I think there will be over 2.5 goals. So 15-4 for a team of Everton's quality. I think they're being underestimated because of their... the result of the weekend.
Yeah, and it's a good opportunity to bounce back quickly from that as well.
Yeah.
Because they deserve probably more.
They're an honest team, aren't they, Matt? Yeah. Do you know what I mean by that? They're not a team who disappear. Even in that game, they were really going for it. They showed good spirit. It's just that they're a couple of daft mistakes, maybe a bit of fatigue. But I'm trusting Everton here.
Okay. Moving on to Wednesday, the Televised game on Wednesday is Tottenham Hotspur against Nottingham Forest. Tottenham are 8-13. The draw is 14-5, and Forest are 9-2. Four without a win for Tottenham in all competitions. A surprise defeat against West Brom at the weekend as well didn't help matters. They take on a Forest side who are top of the Championship. They're unbeaten this season, and they've got themselves a couple of prolific goal scorers, Brittason Belonga and Mikael Antonio, scoring goals for fun.
Yeah.
Are Forest a good price here to cause an upset?
Yeah, I think, I might be proved wrong if Liverpool go and win handily against Middlesbrough, but I think this is a very similar game. Tottenham have got bigger fish to fry this season. Wrongly, in my opinion, by the way. I think Tottenham should be winning or should be getting to the final of something like the League Cup because, you know, they can't win the league. They could win the Europa League, I suppose, but it seems a long way off at the moment. They're not going to... Premier League... out of the question. FA Cup and League Cup are the two that they've got, so why not go for it and really, you know, really try and do well. Last year, I'm sure Pochettino put out a very weakened team for Southampton in the League Cup, so I worry that he'll do the same again. He's been quite critical of his players after that defeat at the weekend, you know, basically criticising their passion and their application, and he said they disrespected West Brom, who were bottom of the table when they came and hadn't really been scoring goals. So it's hard to see that they'll disrespect this team. But if that's in the players, maybe they will disrespect it, the fact that it's a Championship team and, you know, that they shouldn't be really playing in the same match as them. I don't know. Obviously, they've got a bit of arrogance about them. There's no way that Nottingham Forest will be not looking forward to this game. The manager... enjoyed a lot of League Cup success with Nottingham Forest. Had some brilliant games against Tottenham as well in the League Cup. So we'll remember it fondly. I read an article where he's talking about going to White Hart Lane and, you know, how he always enjoyed the encounters there and blah blah blah. So yeah, I can see Forest getting something. I'm going to go with the same bet I put up in the Liverpool game, which is Forest plus a goal.
Yeah.
I think Tottenham may weaken down with Pochettino's history. He might be thinking, I want to punish my players, but is this the game to do it in? You know, should he play his first team again when they've got Arsenal away this weekend? That's a bigger game for them. Has to be, doesn't it?
Well, of course, it's
bigger game.
Arsenal.
And then you've got Europa League again following, hot on the heels of that. So, you know, Tottenham's run after this game is that game against Arsenal. They've got Besiktas at home, they've got Southampton at home, they've got Man City away. So, you know, they've got a tough old run coming up.
Yeah.
And you just wonder if maybe this is... if their eyes will be completely focused on this one. I'm not so sure. So, with what you said about Forest, you know, the fact that they've got goal scorers in the team at the minute, they're very confident. And, I mean, good prices as well. Aston Belonga's 19-10. Whether they win or not, it's a good price, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like it. Antonio's the other one who's been scoring goals. He's 3-1 any time as well, so I wouldn't put anyone off the picking Assun Belonga or Antonio at those nice prices. But I'll give Forest a bit of a chance here, plus a goal or draw no bet, whichever one you favour. I like plus a goal because I like to get something back for my money. I know it's a smaller price, but the plus a goal price.
Well, it's 3-1 in the draw no bet market.
Yeah, and 13-10 plus a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus a goal.
Okay, anyone wants a big old price for a bit of fun as well? Assun Belonga to score and Forest to win is 12-1. Nice. It's happened enough times this season, hasn't
it? Well, yeah, and if they do win, chances are he'll be on the score sheet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's decent that. Three successive defeats at home would be a bit of a worry for Tottenham, wouldn't it? It's hard to see that, but then, you know, it doesn't have to be a defeat, does it? It can be it could be a draw.
I think you're right in saying, though, that they're going to be focused on Arsenal the weekend. That means so much more to them.
I think Forest will be focused on this. I mean, they're away. Their next Championship game, just to even out, is Brighton at home. So nothing too much to worry about that. And I think Stuart Pearce is old school. He'll be all about keeping a winning mentality or, you know, a positive mentality. They drew at the weekend. A positive mentality going into this sort of game. Yeah. And if they get something out of it, I think that will propel them on.
Just imagine, you're top of the league, you haven't lost a game yet and you just beat Spurs in the Cup. You'd be flying, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. And they're tight as well. Got them very well organised. They've, you know, clean sheet against Millwall, clean sheet at Wednesday, who were doing well. Clean sheet at Huddersfield. Let one in at Bournemouth. Had that 2-2 draw in their opening game of the away game of the Championship season. So it's going to be tough for Tottenham to break them down.
Moving on to another of the All Premier League clashes in the third round of the Capital One Cup. Crystal Palace against Newcastle. Crystal Palace are 13-8. The draw is 11-5, and it's 17-10 for Newcastle. These two met a few weeks ago, and it finished 3-3.
It did, yeah.
What was quite an entertaining game. Newcastle have struggled since. Palace had a nice little turn up for the weekend. So, does it go Palace's way?
Oh, Mark, I don't know. I've opposed Palace a lot this season. I'm not quite sure what happened at the weekend. I don't know. You know, I know I've already talked about how Everton were a bit unlucky, but I didn't expect them to score 3 goals. I really didn't. It's the third time this season they've scored 3 goals away from home. They scored 3 at Walsall, 3 at Newcastle and 3 at Everton.
Yeah. 9 away goals in the last 3 games.
What's going on? I really don't know. They've scored 1 at home and 9 away. I mean, it's just... I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I opposed Newcastle. My nap was Hull to win at Newcastle and they were 2 up. God knows how Newcastle came back from that. I'm really not sure. And you know, and Pardew's obviously, you know, if the you know, if the doommongers are to be believed, he's on the edge of getting the sack still, isn't he? Mm. They played Gillingham in the last round, and I was looking at the team to see what team he picked, and there wasn't too many changes really. Cruel, Colaccini, Taylor, Janmaat, Hedera, Sissoko, De Jong, Abid, Ahrens, Obertan, and Rivière. I mean.
Yeah.
Fairly strong. Yeah. Cabella came on. Gouffran came on as well. He had Anita on the bench. So, I think he's got a few injuries. Picked up a few knocks for his players since then. So he might not be able to play exactly the same team here as that. But, I mean, I put it up in the last round. It was, you know, I was all over Janmaat scoring goals early in the season. You know, since they've kind of started to hit the buffers a little bit, Newcastle, I've gone away from him. But I wonder if this might be another chance. Crystal Palace at home have been struggling, obviously for goals. Like I said, I'm going to give Newcastle a chance here.
Okay.
It seems ridiculous, and maybe I'm biased over my opposition to Crystal Palace. Maybe I should be easing off on that a little bit, but I don't think they'll score the goals at home. It's one thing being able to hit teams on the break and score goals. It's another thing making a game. I think Newcastle will prefer to be the team who are away from home here. And they will, you know, trust themselves. I mean, they've not had a great away record. They got beat 4-0 at Southampton and looked dreadful. I'm just going to give them a little bit of an edge here. I don't know why, because it seems daft, because Newcastle seem all over the place. But I just wonder if maybe... I thought the players were playing from it the weekend. I don't know if you saw the highlights of the game, Mark, but it wasn't like... I thought the players might just chuck it in a bit and want rid of him, but they weren't. They tried. You know, he's come back from 2-0 down. Mm. Obviously still playing for him, I think, so... Yeah, Warnock, the other thing I want to say is Warnock traditionally has played very weakened teams in cup competitions. He did it, he once got stung when he was Sheffield United manager. He had a couple of really good runs, one in the League Cup and one in the FA Cup, and it was largely regarded that it lost them the chance to be promoted to the Premier League one year when I think they got to the semi-finals of the League Cup and played Arsenal. Now, I think ever since then, I've kept an eye on his teams, wherever he's been, and he's always weakened down. He weakened down even when he was in the Championship. You know, play and you know, in lower leagues, he weakened down. So I think they'll go weaker. I think he'll be more concerned about staying in the Premier League and keeping his job. They've got Leicester at home at the weekend, in form Leicester. They've got Hull after that. So they've got a couple of really big games coming up, Crystal Palace. And yeah, Newcastle. Can't really tell you why, particularly, other than the fact that I think Warnock will weaken down more than Pardew. But Newcastle at 17-10, I'll go for.
Okay, and we saw Cissé come on and make a big impact as well for Newcastle. Yeah. If he's backfiring, he scored some important goals from in the past. So.
Yeah, not kidding. It's about time though, isn't it, that he actually started scoring goals? I mean, God knows what's been up with him. But remember when he started his career there?
Yeah,
he
was flying.
Brilliant, wasn't he? Everything he hit went in.
Yeah, scoring from it. Was it him or Barr that scored against Chelsea? That absolute.
I think it might have been Cissé, because didn't Cissé was there before Barr, wasn't he? Barr came after Cissé.
Was it the way around, wasn't it?
I'm sure it was Cissé.
Which came first, the Barr or the Cissé?
I mean, it's the eternal question, isn't it? He's got 13 goals in his first season at Newcastle in 14 appearances. Yeah, he did, didn't he? Came in the transfer window and, yeah. Oh, record that was. Scored 18-36 last in the season after that. 2-24 last season.
Yeah, he's gone missing, hasn't he?
Yeah, 2-1 this season, so it might not be worth it. We haven't got any prices at the minute on goal scorers, have we, for this match? But it might be worth a look at Cisse to score in this one if he plays. But Newcastle, win. Don't know why. It will happen.
Maybe. There you go,
maybe.
If you've ever needed a reason for a bet, that's not one of them.
It's a gut instinct. It's an inkling.
Yeah. Oh, I'll go your instinct, mate.
It's a feeling.
West Brom against Hull is the final game we're going to look at in detail. West Brom are 7-5. The draw 21-10. Hull City are also 21-10. West Brom got their first win of the season, which is good.
Yeah.
They beat Spurs 1-0 at the weekend. They have scraped past Oxford United on penalties in the last round, so they are struggling, yeah. West Brom. Hull City, one win, three draws and a defeat. That was 2-1 against Villa. FA Cup finalists last season, they like a good cup run.
Yep.
Do they win here?
I don't know. I really don't know. I was surprised by West Brom winning. Very surprised by West Brom winning at Tottenham. Haven't really been a fan of West Brom. I thought Alan Irvine had lost the plot a little bit, to be fair. They'd been conceding lots of very early goals, and I said this in the podcast before the weekend, that he admitted in public he didn't know why they'd been conceding so many early goals, which is a strange thing to admit. So I didn't think he'd be able to rectify it if he didn't actually know what the problem was. But they have managed to rectify it, because obviously they kept a clean sheet at Tottenham, which is good. Tottenham were rubbish, though. Again, put it into context. It was West Brom were good, and they got the goal. When James Morrison's scoring a header unmarked in the box, you've got issues. So I'm chalking that one off as a good blip. Don't know what a good blip is, but it's a blip, a winning blip. If you can't beat Oxford, I mean, come on. Yeah, I'm going to pick Hull here, 21-10. It's another one of those prices where they're a bit big. It should be a pick 'em this, really. Hull are good on the road. You know, I'm not saying they're brilliant on the road, but they scored goals. I mean, both teams have scored, by the way, in each of the last five of Hull's games. And there's been a couple of 2-2s in there as well. They've had a couple of early goals as well, for and against, in their matches. So it could be one that maybe they both loosen off a little bit, and it's a decent game, this one. Quite a high scorer. I was just looking for the both teams to score, yes, is 8-11. I think if you're having a both teams to score Acker of any description this weekend, this midweek, this is one that should go in. I think it will happen. I don't see West Brom keeping in many more clean sheets, to be fair.
No, but do West Brom score enough?
I think they will. I think now they've got the shackles off the back a little bit, I think they will. I think this will be. I don't think this will be a tactical game at all. I think it'll be one that where they both go out there and have a bit of a go at each other, and you know, have a game. Hull have got Man City at the weekend, by the way, at home. Yeah. So huge game for them. West Brom have got Burnley. So you might say that with those games coming up, West Brom have maybe got like the easiest run coming up, and they might not be quite as focused on what's happening at the weekend. But yeah, both teams to score 8-11 is probably my favourite bet in this game. But if I had to go for a winner, I'd go with Hull, just because I don't really like West Brom. And I think again, Hull can sit back, they can they can pack the midfielder, but they can also, you know, if they want to, they can play that 4-5-1 where it turns into a 4-4-1-1, where they do start to attack a bit more. And they've got, you know, Jelovic, what a goal by him, by the way. You see it?
Yeah.
The scissor kick.
Yeah,
love
beautiful.
That.
Yeah.
And the second goal wasn't bad either, was it? When he absolutely rifled it in, Diame, with his left peg, kind of bent it from outside the post, so it clipped the inside of the near post. Lovely.
If there was a bet for who's going to score the better looking goal, I'd go with Hull City on that market.
Yes.
They seem to score some nice goals.
Yeah, they do. They've got some quality players, so I think if it does happen to be a tight game, I think they would be more likely to break the deadlock with something good, something classy. Jelovic has scored in both his last two away games as well, so might be worth a little look when we have got some goal scorer prices on this one. But yeah, Hull tentatively on the outrights, but both teams to score is my favourite bet there.
I think Hull are a good price.
Yeah,
21-10. Mm. If you want to stick that in a couple of doubles or something like that, I think Hull are a good price.
Okay. Mm.
Other games to mention quickly. We have the big two teams in action. Chelsea are at home to Bolton, and Man City play Sheffield Wednesday. So two sides from the Championship for the top two in the Premiership.
Yeah.
2-9 and 1-5 respectively. Any upset there?
Hard to see it, isn't it? I mean, Bolton aren't pulling up any trees in the Championship. Beat Rotherham 3-2 with a hat trick from Joe Mason a couple of games ago. Lost at the weekend to Wolves. No real shame there, I suppose. it's very hard to see Bolton getting anything at Chelsea, whatever team Chelsea put out. I mean, they've not got a great record in the League Cup either, Bolton, so there's nothing really to think, oh yeah, they're going to go there. Played each other in 2009, Chelsea won 4-0.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised to see the same sort of thing.
Chelsea's second string is still better than most championship
teams.
Well,
we were saying this time last week that Chelsea's second string was better than Schalke.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they drew, but they did dominate the game. They should have won the game. So yeah, I think they'll beat Bolton. It's just by how many, isn't it? I don't think they'll go absolutely crazy, Chelsea. They're around the corner for them. They've got the next Premier League game before the Champions League midweek again is at home to Aston Villa. Then they're away at Sporting. Then they're at home to Arsenal. So they've got a few games coming up. So yeah, a weakened Chelsea team. I'd have a look at the team news and pick out a midfielder to score. If Schürrle's playing, have a go on Schürrle to score. I think he's fantastic. I think he's the sort of player who a championship defence wouldn't be able to contain. Sorry to be a bit vague, but we haven't got much team news, and there are less markets around for the Wednesday night games as we record this. But Chelsea should do this. It's just that the prices are so short, Mark. You know, where do you, like, even on the handicaps? I mean, -1, -2, -5,
and we've seen how that doesn't. We thought Chelsea -1 were a good thing against Schalke, and that didn't work out at all.
No. So I'm a bit reluctant to go in. I mean, -1 was 10-11 then, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
2-5 now, so there's no way I'm going to play that. And -2, -6, -5. But if they're 2 up, will they just they might just stroll to a victory against Bolton? So it's a tricky one. But in answer to your question, no, I don't see an upset.
Okay. What about with the other one, Man City Sheffield Wednesday? Wednesday have proven to have a miserly defence this season. Mm. They haven't conceded many goals. I think they've only conceded 4 this season. 4 goals in all competitions.
Yeah.
They're in good form.
Good,
they won 1-0 at the weekend. They're in the playoff places. Everything seems pretty rosy at Hillsborough. Man City with bigger things on their mind. What do you make of that? Could there be a potential upset?
Well, again, it'll be a weakened team, won't it? You know, just looking back to the team that he put out last in the game against Wigan last year at home to Wigan. It was Pantilimon, Richards, Lescott, Clichy, Boyata, Milner, Garcia, Fernandinho, Lopez, Dzeko and Jovetic. Which at the time, Jovetic is kind of is injured, but he's, you know, fighting for a first team place now. Dzeko's obviously a lot better, but it was weakened down. Torre, Navas, and Negredo came off the bench, smashed them to bits 5-0 Wigan last year. They're not the sort of team to trip up against a team like Sheffield Wednesday, but Stoke managed to keep them under wraps, didn't they?
Yeah,
they're a bit of a lazy team for me, Man City. I don't think if they're not absolutely at it like they were against Chelsea, then they can look a bit pedestrian. And they just wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. Do you know what? I'm gonna for the more intrepid, the half-time draw in this game. For the less intrepid, the draw after half an hour. It's 21-20, which I know isn't the biggest price in the world, but I think Sheffield Wednesday are gonna have to set up strong, aren't they? And defensively solid, like you've described. So I think a 30-minute betting draw. 21-20 is a nice way in. The other way in is, if we've got this market at this juncture, which I don't think we have, is a market. It's where you basically back one team to score first,
yep.
And the first goal to be up to. Oh, I think we have got it. Man City to score first, and the first goal after 31 minutes is 7-4.
Yeah.
So I'm banking on it being 0-0 up until the 31st minute, and then Man City scoring the first goal at some point after that.
Yeah, okay. So just basically looking for Wednesday to keep it tight early on, and then City to
eventually
show their class.
Eventually get there, yeah.
Yeah.
The other way, then, I suppose, is half-time draw, full-time City, but I'm not sure they'll quite make it to half-time. It's a lot to ask.
It is. Fair enough. I think that's just about it. Unfortunately, we can't go through all of the Capital One Cup games, but they will go through them on In-Play Radio, so do tune in on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Go on. One little pick, Mark, from both of us. Who wins the tournament? Outright prices: Chelsea 4-1, City 5-1, Liverpool 6s, Arsenal 13-2, Tottenham 10s, Everton 16s, Newcastle 22s, Southampton 25s, Stoke 33s, Sunderland 33s. I could go on, but I won't. Who would you like in that lot?
Well, it's difficult.
Way, there's half the odds for a place in the top two if you're backing each way.
Okay. Well, I'll let you go first. While
that old chestnut.
Well, you just sprung it on me. Let me have a think.
You say sprung it on you. Yeah, I did a little bit, I suppose. Well, let's just have a look back at if there's any. I was looking at the each way prices to see who if there's anyone worth backing. You look at the finals going back: Man City, Sunderland last season,
yeah.
Swansea, Bradford the season before, Liverpool, Cardiff the season before that, Championship of course, Birmingham, Arsenal the season before that, Man U, Aston Villa. There's always a team in there now, it seems, from 2010 onwards. There's a big team and an unexpected team. I mean, before that, it was Man U, Tottenham, Chelsea, Chelsea, Arsenal, and so on and so forth. Most years, it was a battle of one of the big five or six. So I was looking at maybe picking someone out of the pack who might spring a surprise. It's not easy to do that. What about Southampton at 25s?
Yeah.
Could you see that or not?
I could see that. I quite like the look of Hull at 50-1.
Well, they've got a big job to get past Arsenal first time. Hull? 50s?
Yeah, that's what I just, yeah. I quite like, they've got cup final, well, cup run experience.
Yeah.
They obviously built a squad that they thought could be capable in Europe. That didn't work out. So when it comes to playing a couple of times a week, maybe they'll survive better than others.
50, nice thought, I like it. One. Yeah, I like the way you're thinking. And they have bought a lot of players and spent a bit of money, so they would like a return on it, wouldn't they? It's just whether he thinks they're going to be safe enough to go for it, I suppose. But
they've started fairly well, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what I like to look at, if I'm looking at someone who's... who's going to have an eye on going further, is someone who will be safe. It hasn't really worked out like that, obviously, because you know Sunderland obviously struggling for their lives when they did it. You know, so I'm not sure on Birmingham. Of course, I think they went down, didn't they, after that cup win. So it can be a bit of a poison chalice, I think, to teams who win it. But yeah, right, Hull's nice at 50s each way. So that's each way for a place in the final, 25-1 each. Of course,
what about one at three figures, Middlesbrough. Oof. Good record in the League Cup. They got to the final in 97
under McLaren.
And in 98. And
was it Brian Robson?
Again in 2004. They seem to like the cup competitions, and they're doing so well in the league that they could afford to maybe be distracted a little bit by the cup.
Maybe. Yeah, I'll go Southampton then.
I'm sticking with Hull, but
they've got to get past Arsenal in this round, which is a massive ask, to be fair. But if they do that, then I think that price might come in quite a bit. If either of those go far, we'll take this little clip out and play it again. If they get beat this midweek, then we'll never speak of it again.
Yeah, I agree. Deal? With that. Yeah, deal.
Cool. Great.
Right, nice one. Thank you, Lee.
Thanks.
Make sure you tune in to InPlay Radio. You'll hear action from all of these games and in-depth betting previews as well. And we'll be back on Friday with the next edition of The Punt.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.